Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Vayishlach, and the title of tonight's shir is Reuven's Tryst with Bilha. And as the title indicates, the topic of the shir will be this cryptic area in the Torah where there seems to be an indication that Reuven had a relationship with Bilha, who is Yaakov's wife, maidservant wife. So we're going to try to explain how that is the case and what the point of the story is. I'm going to start a couple psukim before, and at the end of the shir, you'll realize why I started a couple psukim before. But for now, we're just going to start a couple psukim before the actual event, and then we'll try to get deeper insight. So we'll start from Bereishis, Parak Lamed Hey, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says, Vayisu mi beis el, vayihi od kivrasa aretz lavo efrasa, vatelid rachel, vatikash belid ta. Yaakov and his family, they left Beit El, and they were a little bit of distance away from Ephrat. And Rachel, she gave birth, but she had a hard time giving birth. Vayhi b'hakso sa b'lid ta, v'atomer loham yaledes al tiri ki gamzel lach bein. So she had a difficult time in labor, and the mialedes, the nurse who was helping deliver, said, "Don't be worried, you're going to have a son." I don't think it was that she preferred a son personally, but I think it was in terms of the shvatim, that she would contribute another shevet. It says, Vayihi betseis nafsha ki mesa, so she ends up dying in childbirth. Vatikra shemo ben oni, ve'aviv karlo vinyamin. She calls the son that she has, the son of my pain, ben oni, and Yaakov changes his name to Binyamin, which I think is a little more, a little nicer. It says, Vatamas Rachel, vatikaver b'derech efrasa, hi beis lachem. So Rachel dies, and then she's buried on the path to Ephras, which is Beis Lachem. Okay, that's a little background. Vayatzev Yaakov Matzeva Kvurasa, he Matzeves Kvuras Rachel Adayom. So Yaakov sets up a Matzeva, a stone, and it's still there until this day. Vayisah Yisrael Vayeto Olom Mehal Lemigdal Eder. So then Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, he travels again. And he goes and he sets up his tent some distance away from Migdal Eder, which is the name of a place. Okay, this is the actual story that we're going to focus on. Vayihi bishkon Yisrael ba'aretahi. So Yaakov was living in this land. Vayelech Reuven vayishgav es Bilha pilegesh aviv. So Reuven goes and he sleeps with Bilha, the concubine of his father Yaakov. Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael hears about it, meaning Yaakov hears about it. And then there's a break. That pay means there's a break in the Torah. Vayubne Yaakov Shneimasar. And Yaakov had 12 sons. A very strange pasuk. Let's just finish it up. Bnei Lea Bechor Yaakov Reuven Veshimon Velevi Yehuda Yisachar Zvulun. So the sons of Lea were Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. Bnei Rachel Yosef Avinyamin. The two sons of Rachel were Yosef and Vinyamin. Uvnei Vilha Shevchas Rachel Dan v'Naftali. So Bilha, the maidservant of Rachel, had Dan and Naftali. Uvnei Zilpah Shevchas Leah Gad v'Asher. And Zilpah had Gad and Asher. Ilibnei Yaakov Asher Yalad Lo b'Padan Aram. These are the sons of Yaakov who were born in Padan Aram. Okay? So we're going to focus on Pasuk Chaf Beis onwards. So what is so strange about this pasuk Chaf Beis and the psukim afterwards? So I think what's strange about it is what exactly was Reuven doing? He was being intimate with Bilha. The pshat of the psukim seemed to indicate that he was being intimate with Bilha. So why did he do that? What was his motivation? And then another strange aspect of the pasuk is Vayishma Yisrael. It just says that Yisrael heard, but it doesn't say anywhere that Yisrael addressed it. He doesn't talk to Reuven about it, so why is that important to note that Yishma Vayishma Yisrael? And then it's a weird pasuk, because normal psukim don't get broken up in the middle of the pasuk. But this one gets broken up, and it says, Vayubnei Yaakov Shneimasar. Okay, so the basic question on this story is, what exactly was Reuven motivated by? What's going on here? It's a strange story. And then you have the more detailed questions, why does it just say Vayishma Yisrael? And why is the Torah splitting up the Pasuk into Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masar in the middle of the Pasuk? Okay? So those are the questions. Anybody have any other questions? Anything? Okay, so those are the basic issues and problems. So what is the Pshat? What's going on in the Pshat? So if we look at Unklus, for the pshat in number two, he says, and on Chaf Beis, Vahava Kad Shra Yisrael Ba'arahi. So when Yaakov was living in this land, Va'azar Ruvain Ushchiv Yas Bilha Lechinasa Davui, and Ruvain slept with Bilha, the Pilegesh of his father, Ushma Yisrael, and Yisrael heard, Vavobne Yaakov Hare Treyasar. And the sons of Yaakov were 12. So the pshat, according to Unkelus, seems to be that Ruvain really slept with Bilha. And that's the pshat of the Pesukim. And the Radak, actually, I didn't put the Radak in number three, but I'm going to read the Radak inside. The Radak, actually, he explains the pshat a little bit more. Because the question is, how is it possible that Reuven could commit such a terrible sin and sleep with his father's wife? So the Radak actually opens up the area a little bit. And he says, I'm going to read it inside, Vayelech Reuven, Halach le'ohel b'vishachav ima. So Reuven went to Bilha's tent, and he slept with her, Pilegesh Aviv. And the Pasuk says, the Pilegesh, the concubine of his father. Ashes Aviv Haisa, she was really the wife, the Kara Pilegesh, but she's called the Pilegesh, which is strange. So why is she called the Pilegesh in the Pasuk? The Radak wants to know. That's what his question. Lafish Reuven Chashav ki lo Haisa Asura Alav. So Reuven thought that Bilha was not prohibited from him. Lafish Haisa Tchila Shefcha, because at first she was a maidservant, the Acharkach Lacha Aviv Lepilegesh. And then his father took her as a concubine. A concubine is not a full-fledged wife. V'akasav meid aleha shehaisa lo le'isha. But the Pesukim tell us that she was a full-fledged wife. So apparently Reuven was mistaken. He thought that she was a concubine, but she really is a wife, as the Pesukim say. Kemosha amar v'titen lo as Bilha shevchasa le'isha. As it says that Bilha was given to Yaakov as a maidservant, but as a wife. V'haisa asura lo. In reality, she was really usher to Reuven. Ki b'nei Noach nitztavu al ha'arayos kemoshe kasavnu. Because b'nei Noach, they're not allowed to be involved in illicit relationships. Kol shekein b'nei Yaakov, even more so the sons of Yaakov. Lefichach natal mimeno bechoraso kemoshe amar uvecholo yitzui aviv nasna bechoras leYosef. And this is the reason why Reuven lost the bechor. Okay, and then it says afterwards in the Radak, Vayishma Yisrael, Upiresh Mina Isha. So Yaakov heard about what happened, that Reuven slept with Bilha, and he's forced to separate from her. Zehu Sha'amar Vayubne Yaakov Shneimasar, Ki lo haya od bein, he didn't have any more children, Vaya Parish od Kol Yamav Miisha Umidarche Olam, Vis Asek Bavodas Hakel. So he decided to separate himself from his wives, and he was just involved in ideas and serving God. Okay, fine. So the pshat that the Radak is saying, which is in line with Unkelus, is that really Reuven did sleep with Bilha. But he's trying to explain it a little bit, and he's saying that the reason why Reuven slept with Bilha is because he thought that she was a Pilegesh to his father. And apparently it would be mutter, although I wasn't aware of this, but apparently it would be mutter for a son to sleep with the Pilegesh of your father because she's not a full-fledged wife. But she really was a full-fledged wife, and it was usher for Reuven to sleep with her. So that's really the pshat that the Radak, you know, points out. And it's an interesting pshat, you know. So does anybody have any questions on the pshat? Or any explanation of the pshat? Okay, so that is the pshat. The pshat is that Reuven slept with Bilha. But I really want to take up this drash that the Rashi points out. But the pshat, I think, the Radak explains nicely. It's still a little strange that Reuven would make such a mistake. Yeah, sure.
So given that that's a pshat, what would be the reason for including it? What do we get from knowing this?
That's a good question. Good question. I don't know. It's a good question. Why don't we leave that off? Maybe we'll come to the answer at the end of the share, okay? But it's a good question. All right. It's also strange to me, and maybe we'll try to answer this. It says Vayishkav es Bilha Pilegesh Aviv. The wording is strange. It says Vayishkav es Bilha. Normally, when it says Shochev, it says like Shochev im Behema. You sleep with somebody. You don't sleep to somebody. So it's a strange lashon. Vayishkav es Bilha Pilegesh Aviv. It's very strange. It should say Vayishkav im Bilha, that he slept with her, not towards her. So that's something that I think also we're going to take up, and we're going to try to explain that. At the end of, or by the end of this year, hopefully. Okay, but it's a good question on the pshat. What do we learn from it? And apparently, I mean, it's teaching us that what the nature of Reuven's chet was, but I think we're going to explain, I think we might have some more insight into it by the end of this year. But I really want to take up Rashi and the Drash based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nunhe. So I'm going to quote, or I'm going to read Rashi. So Rashi number 3, he says a lot of troublesome things. Vayishkav mitoch shebilbel mishkavo male alav hakasuv ki'ilu shachva. So what really happened? It wasn't that Reuven slept with Bilha, but rather he overturned his father's bed, and that's why it's as if he slept with Bilha. So what does he mean? He's going to explain. V'lama bilbel v'chilel yitzuav. Why did he overturn his father's bed? Shikishemesa Rachel, when Rachel died, Natal Yaakov mitaso, shahaisa nesuna tadir ba'ol Rachel. So Yaakov took his bed, which was normally in the tent of Rachel, v'lo bishar o'alem, and it wasn't in the other tents, v'nasna be'o'el Bilha. And he placed it in the o'el, in the tent of Bilha. Bar Reuven, so Reuven comes, v'tava elbon ima. So he protests on behalf of his mother's shame, her humiliation. Amar, and he says, im achos imi, haisa tsara li'imi, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a tsara, was like a pain to my mother, shivchas achos imi tehitzar le'imi, lachein bilbel. Should it be that the maidservant of my mother's sister, she should also be a tzara for my mother? Therefore, he overturned his father's bed. Okay, so it seems like the I don't know if Rashi's learning this as pshat or drash, because the Gemara seems to indicate that this is the pshat. It seems to indicate that it's impossible to say that Reuven actually slept with Bilha. But what is the Rashi saying? He's saying that, what did Reuven do? He went into the tent of Bilha, where Yaakov's bed was there. It was situated there. Once Rachel died, Yaakov moved his bed into Bilha's tent. He goes in there, he takes it, and he messes up the place. And he overturns the bed, he throws all the pillows around, overturns it, and he's basically protesting on behalf of his mother, right? So there's a couple of strange issues that I have with this Rashi. Does anybody have any questions on the Rashi before I ask the questions? Okay. So one problem that I have is, what does it mean, male alav akasav ki'ilu shachva? Why is it that because he overturned his father's bed in Bilha's tent, why is that equivalent to him sleeping with Bilha? There seem to be two totally different chataim, two totally different flaws. So why is the pasuk comparing one to the other? Right, so that's one question that I have on Rashi. And another question that I have on Rashi is that Reuven himself, why exactly? Fine, so the drush is saying that he was protesting on behalf of his mother, right? But is that it? Is that everything? Is that all he did? Let's go on. I'll strengthen that question a little bit more. So look at the next Rashi, the next couple Rashis. Vayubnei Yaakov Shnei Masar Maschil Inan Rishon. So the Torah is going back to the original issue, or the original inyan. Mishanola Binyamin Nishlama Hamata. So once Binyamin was born, now the Shvatim were complete. Umeata Reuyam Lehimanos. Now they were roi. There it was proper to count them. Umenon, and they were counted. V'rabasenu Darash Darshu Lamdenu Bosh Shakulan Shavin. So the Chazal, they say, it comes to teach us that all of them, all the Matos, all the Shvatim, they were all even and equal. The chulan tzaddikim, they're all tzaddikim. Shelo chata Reuven, that Reuven did not sin. Okay, and then look at Chaf Gimel. So it says Bechor Yaakov, in explaining Reuven, he's called the Bechor Yaakov. Afilu b'shas hakilkala karu Bechor. Even in the moment of his destruction, he's called the Bechor. Okay, so what's strange about this? What's strange? It's a contradiction. Rashi's saying he wasn't a chote, he was a tzaddik, but it says, Rashi himself says, Bechor Yaakov, afilu b'shas hakilkala karu Bechor. So even in his moment of flaw or destruction, he's called the Bechor. And also, so which one is it? Was he a chote or was he not a chote? Right? And if you look in the next Rashi, Bechor Yaakov, the last Rashi, says, Bechor l'nachala, he was the Bechor for nachala, meaning inheritance, Bechor l'avoda, Bechor l'minyan. It was the Bechor with regard to serving God, and the Bechor with regard to counting. V'lo nasna Bechor liYosef el le'inan ha'shvatim shenaseh l'shnei shvatim. But the Bechor was in terms of Shvatim, meaning the Shvatim that were split up, was only that was given to Yosef. But apparently Reuven lost it over here in this situation. So Rashi seems to be contradicting himself. On the one hand, he's saying that Reuven was a tzaddik and he's equal to everybody. But on the other hand, and that he was not a chote. But on the other hand, he's saying that it was Shas HaKilkala, and he lost something. He lost the Bechor because of it. And so which one is it? Is he a chote? Is he not a chote? So that's one strong question. And then the other is that the Torah is comparing his chait to as if he slept with Bilah, but he didn't really sleep with Bilah. What does this have to do with him sleeping with Bilah? So those are the questions. Okay. Anybody else have any questions on the Rashi? Like anything strange about this? Okay. So I just want to strengthen the questions a little bit more. So was he a chote or was he not a chote? And what is the nature of his chait? Was he simply just fighting for his mother? Or is there more to the chait? Okay, so it says, Vayashav, in number four, it says, Vayashav Reuven el habor, vihine ein Yosef babor, vayikra es begadov. So if you go to the story of Yosef being sold, Reuven, if we remember, Reuven had a plan. And his plan was to save Yosef, to come back and save Yosef. But he gets back and he realizes that Yosef is no longer in the boar, and he ends up tearing his clothing out of, out of mourning. Okay? And if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, number five, on that pasuk, it's Parak Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Tes. It says, Vayashav Reuven, uvemechiraso lo hayasham. So Reuven, where was he coming from? How come he wasn't there when Yosef was sold? So one shot is she gia yomo lelech l'shameshes aviv. So it was his day to help his father out. So he wasn't with the brothers in the sale of Yosef. Davar acher asuk haya besako uvetaniso al shabil bel yitzue aviv. But another pshat is that he was wearing sackcloth and he was fasting. Why? Because he overturned his father's bed. Okay. So this Rashi seems to indicate that he was a chote, that he was a big sinner. This is well after the story of this happening. This is Parak Lamed Zayin, and he's still doing tshuva over this chait. So how is it that the Torah says that he's a tzaddik, or not the Torah, sorry, but Rashi, he's saying from the fact that the Torah says Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar that he's a tzaddik, but on the other hand, this Rashi seems to indicate that he was a chote and that he was a sinner because he's sitting there and he's doing tshuva and he has to, you know, don sackcloth and he has to be Misana. Okay? Okay, and another proof. So stop me if you have a question or if what I'm saying doesn't make sense. Okay? So you have another proof that this was a chait from number six. Reuven, which is from Vayechi, and it's referring to the brachos of Yaakov to all the sons. It says, Reuven bechori ata, kochi vereshis oni, yasser se'es v'yasser oz. So Reuven is the... Look at Unkelus in number 7, Gimel. Reuven buchri at chele veresh tukvi loch hava chazdei lemesav tlasa chulakin becherusa ku nasel machusa. So really, Reuven was the bechor, and he was the product of Yaakov's might, and he was really ro'oi. It was appropriate for him to get the bechor, the kuhuna, and the malchus. Okay, but then it says, pachas kamayim al tosar, ki alisa mishkevei avicha az chilalta yitzui Allah. Okay, and if you look in the Unklus, and I have my Unklus Chumash here because I don't want to mangle the words so much, as best I can. So it says in Dalet, al da azalta lekabel apayach hachemaya baram la ahanesa cholak yatir losisav are selecta base mishkevei avich bechein achelta l'shivui bri selecta. Okay, so I'm going to read the Havanas Unklus in Hebrew. In my Chumash, it says, "Al zeh shehalachta el nochach bechivun ka'askav, because you gave in to your anger, hinei kamayim hazormim b'shetef, which is like water that's like in a dam. If you open up the dam, the water flows very strongly. That's what Reuven's anger and him giving into his anger is compared to. Beram lo ahanisa cholak yatir lo sisav, ach lo ho'alta, meaning it didn't have any effect. Chelek nosav nechpad yoser lo sekabel. You won't get an extra... You will lose out on the extra portion. So it seems, based on the pshat, based on Unkelus, and based on the psukim, that this this situation or this story of Reuven, that Reuven overturned his father's bed because he was trying to defend his mother's, you know, his mother's, I guess, humiliation. So he lost the Bechor because of it. So it's definitely, it certainly seems like from this, from the Pshat of the Psukim, that it was a chait, and it was such a bad chait that he lost, and Rashi mentions this before in the other Rashi, but it was such a bad chait that he loses a Bechor. He should have been the Bechor in terms of the Shvatim, and he loses that out because of this situation. So the question is, what caused him to lose out on the Bechor? And let me just strengthen that question also a little bit. So usually we say in the Torah that there's like a midah keneged midah, that we say that when a person does something wrong, when they're punished, usually the punishment somehow fits the crime, or you can somehow see how the punishment would fit and be just. So over here, you know, how does this punishment of removing Reuven's Bechor and his right to be two Shvatim, how does it fit the sin or the chait of overturning his father's bed? What does one have to do with the other? So that's another question that I want to ask. So let me just lay out the questions again. So one question is, we're doing this according to Rashi and not the Radak. But one question, according to Rashi, is that why is Reuven overturning his father's bed in Bilhah's tent? Why is that equal to him sleeping with Bilhah? Another question is, what was so bad about his act? And what exactly was his flaw? Was he a chote? And what was his chait? And a third question is, Rashi seems to contradict himself, because on the one hand, he's saying that Reuven is not a chote, and he's a tzaddik like all the other brothers. But on the other hand, it seems like from other Rashis that he's donning sackcloth, he's involved in tshuva. You see from the pshat and the psukim by Yaakov that he loses the bechor because of this. So which one is it? Is he a chote? Is he not a chote? Right? Okay. And then there's just one more proof. Uvnei Reuven bechor Yisrael. Look at number 8. It's from Divrei Yamim. It's just another proof that Reuven lost the bechor because of this. Uvnei Reuven bechor Yisrael ki yuar bechor uvechalalo yitzui aviv. Because he defiled his father's bed, because of this case, he overturned his father's bed. Nasna bechorasel of Yosef ben Yisrael v'lolei sachesh lebechor. So that's why he lost the bechor to Yosef. Okay, so it's just another proof of the psukim that this situation, this very flaw, was what caused Reuven to lose the bechor. But he lost the bechor of the shvatim, because Rashi before says that he didn't lose the total bechor. He's still called bechor Yaakov. He just loses the bechor, that status of being the bechor of the shvatim. Okay. Any other questions? Anybody? Anybody have an answer? Or any possibilities? All right. Tamar? No? Okay. All right. So before we move on also, and I know there's a lot of questions out there, so if, you know, and we're going to try to keep them all in our head. One last point, which is that, and the Sifsei Chachamim asked this question. I didn't bring down the Sifsei Chachamim in the actual source sheets, but you can take my word for it. The Sifsei Chachamim does ask this question. And the question is, why exactly did Yaakov move his bed into Bilhah's tent? You know, why didn't he move his bed into Leah's tent? And if you look over there, actually, the Sifsei Chachamim gives an answer, but I don't really like the answer so much. He says that Yaakov thought that Leah wouldn't want his tent, that Leah wouldn't want his tent in her tent, because her whole life he was with Rachel. She didn't want to be like, you know, second, and Yaakov was afraid to ask, so he never asked her. That's like the Sifsei Chacham's answer. I don't really like the answer. I think you can give a better answer, so I'm going to try a different answer, you know, coming up soon, okay? All right, so those are all the questions. What is the deal with this story? What is Reuven, why is Reuven overturning the bed? What's so bad about it? Why does he lose the Bechor because of it? But he doesn't lose the total Bechor. He loses the Bechor of the Shvatim, but he doesn't lose the personal Bechor. Was he a Chote? Was he not a Chote? How do we explain this whole entire story? Right? So those are the questions.
I was just thinking.
Yes.
That, yes, he did do something wrong, but his intentions were, like, he had good intentions.
Okay.
And he did have good reason to do it, but, you know, what he did was obviously still inappropriate, so that's why he still had good intentions. Maybe that's why they still consider him a tzaddik, but, you know, he still did a bad action.
Okay. All right. So I like that. I like that approach. But I think, I mean, he still did something terrible. I mean, it doesn't matter what your intentions are. He did degrade Yaakov inappropriately. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and let's keep that in the back of our minds for this year. But you're on the right track over there. That's what I think. So we're going to get to that, okay? But that's a good approach. So let's just study. I want to study like Reuven a little bit and his personality a little bit. And if we study Reuven and we go back in the past a little bit and go back to previous Pesukim, maybe we can get like deeper insight into the nature of Reuven's flaw. And also, by the way, it's just to ask on Dina's point. I mean, I understand that his like intentions were good, but I still want to know why exactly he lost the Bechor. How that's Mida Keneged Mida. Why is him losing the Bechor of the Shvatim, but not the Bechor of Yaakov, but the Bechor of splitting up him into two separate Shvatim? He lost that to Yosef, because from Yosef you have Ephraim and Menashe. Reuven was really supposed to have that, but he lost that. So why does he lose that as opposed to anything else? So I want to try to explain that. Okay? So let's go back in time to Reuven's birth, when little Reuven came out of Leah, and it says in number 9, Vatar Leah Vatelad Bain Vatikra Shemo Reuven Ki Amara Ki Ra Shem Baonye Ki Ata Yehavani Ishi. Okay? So Leah, she conceives and she gives birth to a son, and she calls his name Reuven. Why does she call his name Reuven? Ki Amra Ki Ra Hashem Baonye. Because she said that Hashem sees my affliction. Ki Ata Yehavani Ishi. Because now my husband will love me. And the Mefarshim say that because she provided Yaakov with a son, so now that would unite her and Yaakov. As we all know, there was a certain tension between Yaakov and Leah, and Yaakov always wanted to marry Rachel, but not so much Leah. And Leah's naming of her firstborn son, Reuven, is tied to her desire to be loved by her husband. Okay, so why am I bringing this pasuk in? So I'm trying to show you that from the very start, Reuven was personally involved in the relationship of Leah and Yaakov. You see that from the very name, the very name of Reuven. I mean, maybe you'll ask that all the other Shvatim are also named similarly, because you see later on, Shimon, also it's because Yaakov should love her. Also, Levi, Apam Yilaveh, Ishi Eli, they're all like that. But I think Reuven was particularly strong. That Reuven, he was named Reuven because of the fact that he was a vehicle of uniting Yaakov with Leah. But you see later on in another story in the Torah that Reuven plays this role. In number 10, it says, "Vayelech Reuven bimei kitzir chitim, vayimtza dudaim basadeh, vayaveh itam osam el Leah imo, vatomer Rachel Leah tzni nalim dudaim benech." So there's this story where Reuven, he goes out in the harvest time and he takes some flowers in the field and he brings them to Leah, his mother, and he says to Rachel, Rachel says to Leah, give me the flowers of your son. It says, Vatomer la hama'at kachtech es ishti v'lakachas gamas duda'e b'nei. So Leah says, is it not enough that you take my husband every night? Now you also want to take my son's flowers? Vatomer Rachel, lachin yishkav yimach alayla. So Rachel says that basically Leah, you know, you can have Yaakov for the night in place of the flowers. And Leah, she gets some intimate time with Yaakov because of this transaction, and she ends up having a child because of it. Okay? So what's interesting about this is Vayelech Reuven. It seems kind of, why does the Torah have to tell us that Reuven was the one who was responsible for the situation? So if you look at some of the Mefarshim, they give us some insight into this. Let me just get it out. I didn't put it in the sheets because it was one of those things that I would have to like cut and paste, and a lot of people can't download that. So if you look in, it's the Radak. The Radak explains it. He says, Vayelech Reuven. Reuven haya oz kiven sheva shanim. He was about 7 years old. V'yata el asada b'mei kitzir chitim umata dudaim v'laktam behevim elea ima. So he found some flowers to bring to his mother. V'hadudaim heim esev shesharsham heim metzuar tziur tivi b'dmus adam. So he's trying to explain what it looks like. The roots of it, I guess, look like a person. They have the shape of a person. Ulai shama Reuven masha omrim hahamon ki hemo ilim leherayim. So why did Reuven bring these flowers? Because there's people said that it caused pregnancy, these flowers. Ha'isha. Ulafisha amda imo miledes heviyam eleha. Because his mother had stopped giving birth, she had given birth to four children, four boys, and then she stopped. So because she stopped, he was bringing it to her so that she would get pregnant. Because these flowers somehow acted as like an aphrodisiac and also helped with pregnancy, so he was bringing it to her for that reason. Avala davar zeh eino emes. But this is not true. And he says, ki ilu hayakein lama lo harasa rachel shalacha mehem v'gam leya lo harasa v'sivasam shari amar v'yishma elokim aleya. So you see that it didn't work for Rachel, and because Rachel had the dudaim, so apparently he says that's not true. That doesn't help with pregnancy in reality. But the truth is, though, it's possible to say that Reuven believed that it would help with pregnancy, and therefore that's why he brought it to his mother. The Sforno actually says that. The Sforno says openly that Reuven was a chacham, and he understood that this would help with pregnancy, and that's why he brought it to his mother. But either way you go, the point of the Radak and the Sforno is that it's not accidental that Reuven was the one who brought these flowers to his mother. They're trying to tie it into the story. And the way they're trying to tie it in is that Reuven really wanted, he recognized that his mother was upset over the fact that she could no longer have children. And he was really trying to facilitate, you know, her having more children and through Yaakov. So what do you see? You see that, so I'm trying to build a certain type of profile for Reuven. So he was born, the name of Reuven was tied to his role in terms of bringing Yaakov to love Leah more, because he was the firstborn and she was providing him with a son. And you see that he's a vehicle in Bereishis Perek Lamed, Yudaled to Tezayin. Reuven is the individual, the son who's responsible for trying to, A, respond to his mother's pain, and B, trying to facilitate greater relationships between Leah and Yaakov. And he is responsible, because you see in the story that because Rachel gets the Dudaim, that really Leah ends up being intimate with Yaakov. So Reuven is really responsible for that. So one thing you see about Reuven was that he had a personal tie to uniting Leah with Yaakov. And I don't think you could deny that. You see that from the fact that his name was Reuven, and you see that from the fact that he's responsible in the Dudaim case for Yaakov and Leah being together. Okay? But we still have the question. So this kind of helps us out a little bit in terms of Rashi. So it shows you like exactly why Reuven was involved in this act of overturning his father, because you see that Reuven, he had a more personal relationship with his mother than the other Shvatim. And you see that from, like I said, his name and the Dudaim. And you could see why Reuven would be more personally affected by Yaakov humiliating his mother and putting his tent in Bilhah, right? But there's another factor here, which is why did, and I think this explain, well, this will explain or give insight, a little bit more insight into Reuven's flaw. Which is why did Reuven lose the Bechor because of this, right? And not the Bechor, the personal Bechor, but the Bechor of the Shvatim. So really, I think to just say that Reuven was motivated by the personal, I think I don't want to say that, because I think that the Shvatim are usually a little bit on a higher level. As Rashi says, he was a tzaddik, and we have to explain, you know, what it means that he was a tzaddik and he was a chote at the same time, right? And I don't want to say that it was simply as simple as that he was simply, sorry, I just used the word simply five times. But I don't want to say that he was fighting for his mother alone, but he also had a svara. He also had an idea. And I want to share that. I think the idea that Reuven had was that, see, Leah had a role as one of the imahos, as one of the mothers. Our matriarchs is Leah. But Bilhah is not really seen, or she's not viewed as one of our matriarchs. So it would be inappropriate, and it would be quite a shakeup in the structure of Klal Yisrael to change that, and to change that structure, and to give Bilhah, you know, an elevated status relative to Leah, because Leah was really the aim; she's really the matriarch, and Bilhah is really not the matriarch; she's really the secondary. Okay, so Reuven, I think Reuven, he was operating in two frameworks. On the one hand, he had a real taina against Yaakov, So his taina, his claim against Yaakov, was that it was inappropriate for Yaakov to put his tent in Bilhah's tent, not from a personal standpoint, but also from Klal Yisrael's standpoint. Because by doing so, you're degrading Leah and you're diminishing her role as an aim. Because Yaakov is basically, by putting his tent with Bilhah, he's basically associating himself more so with Bilhah than Leah, which is dangerous in terms of the structure of Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, there was also a personal relationship between Reuven and his mother, and Reuven felt a certain tie to getting his mother to be with Yaakov. So I think we can explain the chet on a deeper level now. See, what was the chet of Reuven? See, the chet of Reuven was that, as the Torah says, pachas kamayim al tosar. So what was the chet? That he really had a good taina. He had a good claim against Yaakov. And on the one hand, he was acting as the bechor of Klal Yisrael, because it is the role of the bechor of Klal Yisrael to fight for the structure of Klal Yisrael and to ensure the safety of the structure of Klal Yisrael. And in that sense, he was operating as the bechor of Klal Yisrael, but he also had personal emotions that involved also, because he was tied to his mother. His name is Reuven. He facilitates his mother's relationship with Yaakov. So he had two motivating factors for this action. One motivating factor was in the capacity as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael, because the Bechor is responsible for safeguarding the future of Klal Yisrael, and he saw that by Yaakov doing this, it would be damaging to the structure. By making Bilhah, you know, or by diminishing Leah's role and putting more emphasis on being with Bilhah, it would be damaging to Klal Yisrael. And Reuven had a right as the Bechor to try to safeguard, you know, Klal Yisrael in that sense. But he was also motivated by the personal, as we see, you know, throughout. So I think the idea that that Rashi is saying, and I think we can explain Reuven's flaw a little bit more, is that he was really a combination of the two. It was a combination of a correct idea. He had the right idea, but he was pachas kamayim al tosar ki alisa mishkevei avicha. But because of the personal emotions involved, he chose to act before confronting Yaakov. Right, so really, that was the flaw of Reuven. So Reuven's flaw was that, on the one hand, he did have the right idea. He did have a correct approach to the situation, and he was right in the sense that Leah is really meant to be the aim and not Bilhah, and that this could damage that. But on the other hand, he was motivated by the personal. So the combination of those two motives created the flaw. It wasn't the idea that was the flaw, but it was the combination of his personal motives in this. And this, I think, explains, I think, the midah keneged midah of why he lost the Bechor. You see, the Bechor of Klal Yisrael has to act, he can't act in line with a personal. He has to act in line with the good of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And because he had tainted, Reuven had tainted his role as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael by including his personal emotions. So that's why he lost the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. See, he didn't lose the personal Bechor, because you can't lose that. That's something that's innate, and that can't be lost. But he lost the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. Why did he lose that? Because he acted in the capacity as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael, but he tainted it with his personal emotions. And he allowed his personal emotions to act before confronting Yaakov. Because really, what should have Reuven done? If he realized that this would be damaging to Klal Yisrael, he should have just approached Yaakov and said to Yaakov, "Listen, I think this is a bad idea, and I think that you should move your bed into Leah's tent." Not because he should have confronted Yaakov, but the idea that he acted before confronted reflects the combination of his personal motives in with his motive as acting as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. And that's really the flaw of Reuven. And that's pachas kamayim al tosar ki alisa mishkevei avicha. And that's why I think explains also, why does it say Vayishma Yisrael? Why does it say that Yisrael heard? Because I think there is a reality, there was a truth to what Reuven was saying. That's why he was a tzaddik and he was a chote. Because there was a truth to what he was saying. And the truth was that, you're right, if Yaakov really did, you know, set himself up in Bilhah's tent, it would create a lasting damage to Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, Yaakov was flawed, Reuven was flawed in the way that he did this. Because he was motivated by the personal, his anger got involved, and he wasn't able to merely confront Yaakov about it. Okay? And I just want to bring like two other areas in Chumash where we see like something similar, I think. So you see by the story of Shimon and Levi. So you see that Shimon and Levi, they end up getting criticized because of their reaction to Dina getting raped by Shechem. And so they get criticized. And it says in number 11, it says, Vayomer Yaakov v'Shimon v'Levi achar temosi l'havisheni b'yoshev aretz baknani v'aprizi v'ani mesei mispar v'nesfu alai v'hikuni v'nishbanti ani obesi. So Yaakov criticizes them and he says that because of their actions, he put Yaakov and the whole family at risk. And they say, Vayomru hachzona yases achosena. So they say, is it appropriate for our sister to be like a prostitute? Okay? So by Shimon and Levi, you see something similar to Reuven. So they're acting in two capacities. See, they're correct in the sense that Dina, it would be inappropriate for Klal Yisrael to be defiled by the daughter of Yaakov, treated or raped. They're correct in that. And that's a problem in terms of like the nation as a whole, that it shows weakness in a nation. But they also, there's the personal emotions that you feel when your sister is wronged, and they involved the two together, and that's really why they were criticized later on in the brachos. Yaakov says to them, Shimon v'levi achem klei chamas mechei roseyem. They're really criticized. But you see by Yehuda, on the other hand, that Yehuda confronts Yaakov, and he's not criticized. In fact, he gets the malchus. By number 12, it says, when they ran out of food, Yaakov didn't want to send Binyamin. Yehuda confronts Yaakov about it. If you send Binyamin with us, we'll get you food. And if not, we won't go. So Yosef said that he's not going to see us unless we bring Binyamin. So basically, it's okay to confront Yaakov. It's just that when the personal gets involved in your role as the Shevet, so that's when it becomes a problem. And you see by Shimon and Levi that they were really motivated by a combination of protecting Klal Yisrael, but also the personal. And that's why they weren't able to go along with the plan. According to the Ramban, there's a different plan there. And they ended up acting very harshly and very quickly. But you see by Yehuda, Yehuda's not criticized for confronting Yaakov. So really it would have been appropriate for Reuven to confront Yaakov about the issue of potentially damaging Klal Yisrael by putting his tent with Bilhah as opposed to Leah. And he should have been confronted about it. But because Reuven was also had personal motives, so that's why he's really, you know, responsible. That's why he's really flawed, and that's why he gets punished by losing the Bechor of Klal Yisrael, because he didn't really act in the correct capacity as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. He allowed his personal emotions to taint his actions. So that's how I want to explain Reuven's flaw and the whole story of Reuven with Bilhah. And I just wanted to add like one other point, which is that, so the question was, why did Yaakov, you know, put his tent in the tent of Bilhah? So why do you guys think? I mean, the Sifsei Chacham asks this question. He gives a possibility. He says a Yesh Lomar possibility, but I didn't really like his possibility. I told you the possibility before. So what do you think? Why exactly did Yaakov put his tent with Bilhah and not with Leah? So I think the idea is, the reason why I put in the psukim from Rachel's death was to try to tie it in. I think the idea is that Yaakov really, he was mourning over Rachel's death. He really loved Rachel tremendously, and he was in mourning. And Bilhah was really Shifchas Rachel. So I think the idea of Yaakov putting his bed in the tent of Bilhah was that it was in order for Yaakov to cope with the loss of Rachel. And because Bilhah was really an extension of Rachel. She was Rachel's maidservant. So I think Yaakov was really doing that to cope with Rachel's death. But I think, I think Reuven, he didn't understand that also. I think Reuven, if he would have confronted Yaakov, he would have known that Yaakov had just been doing it, or was doing it to cope with Rachel's death, but it wasn't permanent. But instead, Reuven acts very quickly, and he doesn't confront Yaakov. And you see, you see in the Gemara, in Erevin, as we all know, who was buried in Maras HaMachpelah with Yaakov? Leah. So it wasn't Bilhah. So really, ultimately, Leah's stature as the aim, as opposed to Bilhah, was preserved through the fact that Yaakov was buried with Leah. But the thing is that I believe that Yaakov, based on the Pesukim, that Yaakov really put his tent with Bilhah, not because he wanted to diminish Leah's role, but because he was coping with the loss of Rachel. And I think Reuven lacked an understanding of that. He believed that it would be damaging to Klal Yisrael, to the structure of Klal Yisrael, but he also had personal emotions tied to the action, and therefore he acts unjustly and he acts incorrectly. And instead of confronting Yaakov, as Yehuda does in a situation, he acts quickly and harshly, and that's why he's criticized. So I think that answers all the questions. I think that answers why he's called a chote, but he's a tzaddik. Because his chait wasn't a normal type of chait. It was a little bit more sophisticated. He wasn't simply trying to denigrate Yaakov, and he wasn't simply. But there's more sophistication. He did have a correct idea, and his idea that Yaakov could potentially be damaging Klal Yisrael by diminishing Leah's role was a correct thought, and it was a correct idea. And there's a certain tzidkus to that. But he nevertheless was flawed. So it was. That's why he's a tzaddik and he's also flawed. So why is it compared? That was the last question that we're going to take up. Why is this action compared to sleeping with Bilhah? It should have nothing to do with sleeping with Bilhah. So why is this compared to sleeping with Bilhah? So really, I think there's a simple answer to that. See, the thing is that there's two types of his sleeping with Bilhah wasn't the idea of sleeping with Bilhah was to make her usher to Yaakov, and the idea because. When you sleep with, if a married woman sleeps with another man, and the husband has to separate from the married woman, if you know about it, so as, if it was willing. So the idea is that really, that's why it's Vayishkav es Bilhah, not in Bilhah, that he slept towards Bilhah and not with Bilhah. Why? Because his act of sleeping with her or being intimate with her was not because of her, but it was in order to make her usher to Yaakov, in order to prohibit her to Yaakov. He was trying to make her off limits to Yaakov so that Yaakov would go with Leah. So that's why the Torah compares it to sleeping with her. It's not sleeping with her because he was drawn to her through his taivas, through his desires, but it was sleeping with her in order to make her prohibited to Yaakov so that Yaakov would give her up and Yaakov would at least attempt to put his tent with Leah. Okay, so that I think sums everything up. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts, or do you agree with the approach or disagree?
If he did it correctly, it really was the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying.
Yaakov was doing it because he was grieving still for Rachel. It probably was, you know, in terms of Klal Yisrael and the way people were looking at it, not really the right thing to do objectively.
Right. Right.
Sounds like, right?
Yes, because I think that's why it says Vayishma Yisrael. It says Vayishma Yisrael because he realized that there was a reality to what Reuven was saying. But on the other hand, yeah, so Yaakov, he was doing it because he was mourning. But it's Vayishma Yisrael. There was a reality to what Reuven's saying. And that's why Reuven's also not criticized completely. There's a certain sitkus there because he was acting, he was correct in terms of playing the role of the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. In terms of, his idea was correct. He was trying to safeguard Klal Yisrael, and as the Bechor, he was doing the right thing. But his actions were inappropriate. He was acting based on the personal. So that was what was inappropriate. And that's what, you know, that's why there's this. That's why Rashi seems to say that on the one hand he was a chote, but on the other hand he wasn't, because there was a righteousness to his idea, but his actions were tainted. So that's what I think it is. And
Yaakov, in a sense, was acting on his emotions too when he wanted to, you know, not being that objective in terms of Klal Yisrael, but just thinking of his. I'm not saying he's not entitled to that, but that he wasn't thinking more objectively. He was kind of acting on his emotions.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree. That's my umshot. I don't know, because I saw the Sifsei Chacham. He gives that other reason, but I don't really like it so much. Like he says that the reason is because Yaakov was afraid that Leah would reject him because her whole life he was with Rachel and she didn't want to feel like she was like second. But I don't really like that upshot. I like my upshot better. It just fits in with the Pesukim. Because right before this whole event, you have Rachel's death. And we all know that that Bilhah was really the maidservant of Rachel. So it kind of fits in that Yaakov would be mourning through putting his tent with Bilhah.
Right. Okay, could you just explain that last part again about why it's considered like as if he slept with her?
Yeah, because Vayishkav es Bilhah is that there's an idea of shchiva, of like sleeping with a woman because you desire the woman. That would be Vayishkav im. But the idea of Vayishkav es is that when you sleep with a married woman, so the woman becomes usher to, if the woman's willing and It's not like an onus case, unless you're a Kohen. But if it's not an onus, the woman's willing, she becomes prohibited to her husband. So the idea is that Reuven's intention was to make Bilhah prohibited to Yaakov. That's the idea of overturning the bed, was that Yaakov would not be with Bilhah. It was an idea that he would take his bed outside of the tent of Bilhah and put it in the tent of Leah. So the idea of Ki'ilu Shachav Ima is not the idea of Shechiva, not the idea of sleeping with somebody out of your desires, but it was the idea of sleeping with somebody to make her prohibited to her husband. And that's what his intention was. So his intention was to make Bilhah prohibited to, you know, to Yaakov. Not that he was, it wasn't, so that's why I think that explains it. It's like a weird, the pasuk is weird, Vayishkav es Bilhah, it should say, like I said, it's, because we see by Behemoth, Shochev im Behemoth. It should be with, but S, it sounds like it's to her. So he was trying to do something to her. He was trying to...
For example, when he's talking with Vayishkav im a woman,
yeah.
He keeps using Behemoth, but even with a person, it's...
Yes, even with a person, sorry. I'm just, that pasuk for some reason is, recalling that pasuk, but yeah, even with a woman. What?
I was wondering the same thing.
Sorry. Vayishkav im is also with a woman, but Vayishkav s is a strange lashon, so that's what I'm trying to say.
That's true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Grammatically.
Yes.
Slow.
Yeah.
What about why does the pasuk, why is it connected to Vayu b'nei Yaakov Shneimasar?
That's what Rashi tries to explain. He says that it's trying to show you that he was really a tzaddik, but he also had a flaw. It's trying to connect the two. So that's why Rashi says Vayu b'nei Yaakov Shneimasar. He says, Darshu l'lamdenu bash shekulan shavin. They're all equal. V'kulan tzadikim shelo chata Reuven. So it's trying to attach the initial part of the story to the idea of that he was really not a complete chote, that he was, that there was a tzidkus there. So it's trying to tie them together. Okay. All right. Anybody else have questions, or is the area clearer now? Hopefully. All right. I still can't answer. I don't know how to answer Miriam's question about the radak. Like, her question was, you know, what is the pshat? What is the pshat? If you hold the pshat was that Reuven really did sleep with Bilhah, what exactly is the, why is the Torah telling us this story? It's a good question. I mean, I guess it's telling us that he was able to do tshuva afterwards. I don't really know. I don't want to speculate, but it's a good question. But I actually think that Rashi is learning the pshat this way, because if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say that it's like impossible to say that Reuven actually slept with Bilhah. It's like too hard. It's too hard to say that, and it would be impossible to say that Reuven would still be amongst the Shvatim if he had done that. So the Gemara in Shabbos seems to indicate that almost like this has to be the pshat. And I don't know if Rashi is learning this as drash, or I think he's learning it as pshat, according to Rashi. So, yeah. Anyways, so that is the conclusion of the share, and let me just summarize quickly. So we had a lot of questions on Reuven, and questions about the nature of his flaw. Did he sleep with Bilhah? Did he not sleep with Bilhah? So the Rashi says that he overturned his father's bed, and he lost the Bechor of Klal Yisrael as a result. And the question is why, and what was so bad about what he did? And also, there's this ambiguity in Rashi about whether he was a tzaddik or, you know, he was a chote. Which one is it? So the basic approach that we had was that Reuven was motivated by two factors. One, he had a personal motivation, because you see from his name and also the Dudayim that he facilitated Leah's relationship with Yaakov on a personal level. But on the other hand, he also was the Bechor of Klal Yisrael, and he realized that Leah was the aim, and he was trying to fight for her in terms of protecting the hierarchy of Klal Yisrael and making sure that Bilhah didn't usurp her position and that Leah still remained the aim. So, but because he was motivated by both, so that's what caused him to act in an inappropriate manner. But really, he should have confronted Yaakov. That would have been appropriate for Reuven to do, but he acted in an inappropriate manner. That's the idea of Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, that he allowed his personal emotions to get involved in his role as the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. That's why he loses the Bechor of Klal Yisrael, because he allows the personal to taint his role as the Bechor of the nation. And then we answered a couple other ideas, which is that really, Yaakov, why did he put his tent with Bilhah? So I think that it was to cope with the loss of Rachel, because Bilhah was Shifchas Rachel. So that's why he did it. And Reuven seemed to not understand that, and he didn't confront Yaakov. And Yaakov, it says Vayishma Yisrael, he doesn't say anything to Reuven, because there was a reality to what Reuven was saying. He was correct in a certain sense. but he was also wrong in terms of how he went about it. And I think that's the conclusion of the shiur. I think I got most of the points there. So if you have any other questions, please feel free to ask now. If not, have a good Shabbos, and I hope you enjoy the shiur. So, all right, have a good Shabbos. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Bye-bye.